The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. For this summer, I am doing a mini-series on our favorite hymns that we sing. And today we focus on the hymnal, Amazing Grace. Now, Amazing Grace is not only Christians' favorite, one of the favorites of Christians, but to those who are outside of the church, when they're asked to know if they know and if there is anything that they like, Amazing Grace is the number one top favorite of those who, even outside the church. Amazing Grace. Now, we praise an awe-inspiring grace of God. It is a heartfelt declaration of gratitude of God's unfathomable love and mercy. Now, the words were written by John Newton, and he wrote this: "How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Now, here, this word "wretch" refers to someone who is pitied, who is shameful, far from flattering description. And it carries a nuance of oneself as a scoundrel, someone utterly undeserving God's love, unworthy before God. But despite of being this utterly helpless, shameful, and insignificant before God, I am grateful and I'm compelled to praise God's mercy because I'm not worthy, but that grace was shed. So this is not just grace, but an amazing grace. I want to give you three things about why it is called amazing. Number one, because I have received what I never expected. Now, I'm going to tell you about this but with kimchi jjigae, okay? If you have about 10,000 won or 15,000, I don't know the market price, it may differ, but if you have money with you and you're hungry and you went to a Korean restaurant and you ordered a kimchi jjigae and you ate this wonderful, delicious, you know, dish, and because you ate full, you paid for that kimchi jjigae. Nothing exciting, no special things, no, just ordinary. But let's suppose, instead, you don't have money, you're out of money, you're homeless, you are utterly starving, and because you have no money, you're just wandering off the streets, and by chance, someone looks at you and knows what condition you are, and invites you to have a meal with him, and he orders this delicious meal, and you're just full, and he pays for it. Then you will profoundly be grateful for that hospitality. Now, in the same way, I am broken, I'm shameful, I'm a sinful person destined to die because of my mistakes and sins. So poor, so unworthy, that I cannot alter my problems, I cannot fix my problems. Yet, out of pity, out of love, God, he gave his very own son, Jesus, for us, who died on the cross to pay for my sin and pay for the penalties that I deserve on my behalf. And he offers this undeserved love to me. And receiving such a gift from God so unexpectedly is the reason this grace is amazing. Number two, why is that amazing? Because I have received something that I did not work for. Now, let's go back to kimchi jjigae. Let's suppose you're hungry, you don't have money, and there came along someone who says, "All right, let me buy you a kimchi jjigae for you. But in exchange, you will do something for me. Oh, I have this errand, you will do this for me, or you can carry this luggage for whatever it is, this person will buy something for you, but ask you to do something in exchange." Well, I will still be grateful, but I won't be overwhelmed by this contribution or hospitality because I have done something in exchange for that is offered to me.
what has God done for us?
Through the blood of Jesus Christ, he forgave and erased all my shame, my sins, my faults. And he forgives all past utterly. This is what Hebrews 8:12 says. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. I haven't done anything to deserve this kind of favor. I have made no effort, haven't done anything. But this good deeds and my merit is given to me freely. No exchange for anything that I have to do. I have contributed nothing, but God has done everything for me. And that's why this grace is amazing grace. Number three, why amazing? Because my shame has been erased permanently. Now, even if that kimchi jjigae that you ate, you were full, you're just filled, and you're just, you know, you feel good. But soon, you will need to go back and eat again. With all that filled our hearts and our, you know, stomach, it's only temporary pleasure and satisfaction. My hunger returns, and I must eat again. But what God has provided to us through his Son eternally is that our spiritual hunger is filled and has been fulfilled permanently. Not just temporary meal, but the living water that quenches our spiritual thirst is forever. The life bread that will be never leave me again and fill me forever and ever. This is what John 16 says. Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. John 6, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Once we have Jesus, there is no hunger, there is no thirst, but it is spiritually filled permanently forever. Never, never thirst again. And this grace is ours, and that's why we call it amazing grace. Now, the words were written by John Newton, and a little bit about him. John Newton, he experienced this amazing grace by his personal life firsthand, overwhelmed with this gratitude, this love, and he composed this hymnal with this gratitude and awe-stricken that he felt why God, such an amazing grace, was just poured down to me. He was born in 1725 in London. He was son of a ship captain, and his mother was a devout Christian. But when he was 6 years old, his mother passed away, and he was raised by his father, a ship captain, all his life. Now, John, he grew up very rough. Young Newton lived through the all-night drinking and mingling with prostitutes. And there was a war broke out in England, and he was drafted as a soldier. But as a soldier, he could not endure the trainings and the war that he had to face, so he became a deserter. And he was captured as he fled, but he was captured, and because he was a deserter soldier, he was held as a slave for a ship for 15 months. Now, during these 15 months as a slave in ship, his mouth was constantly evil, ferocious, spewing out all kinds of cruel and curses and profane words all through those 15 months. And after 15 months of serving as a prisoner of war in this ship, slave ship, he continued to work as a sailor, and eventually he became a captain of a ferocious slave ship himself. He traveled to seas to the West Africa, and he captured slaves, and he sold and exchanged for beer and apple liquor to Caribbean farms, brutally abusing these slaves and shackles and violence. In one day, in 1748, when he spent nearly 20 years in this black people subhuman slave market, the ship was wrecked on his way back to England. And that shipwreck, Newton called out to God desperately. He said, "God, if there is anyone who can help me, I will devote my life for you." And when he was trying to survive this shipwreck, and miraculously for 4 weeks, he and some others were able to hold on to the wreckage of woods and pieces, and he was rescued after those 4 weeks. So Newton narrowly survived, stopped the slave trade after receiving Jesus as his savior, and reading Thomas A Kempis' book, The Imitation of Christ, and from then on, he became an opponent of slave trade, and he himself became a pastor and served at Buckingham for 16 years, and he was called to God in age of 82 in 1807. Now, before his death, he left a famous quote just before his death. This is what he said. "I go to the kingdom of God now, but if I go to the kingdom of God, I will be surprised probably three times. First, I'll be surprised to see people who I didn't expect to come to kingdom of God, and they're there. Number two, I'll be surprised second time that see that you don't see the person you expect them there, and you don't see them. And number three, I'll be surprised the third time to see that I am there, having lived all kinds of disgraceful and shameful things." A prodigal son, Newton was a child of darkness, but he owned the wonderful grace of God, and he found Jesus and encountered God personally in his life. From debtor of love, he became a pastor and confessed a wonderful love. That's why those words that he wrote, "Amazing Grace," is able to touch so many people. Now at this time, we want to sing this praise hymnal, "Amazing Grace." At this time, we want to sing verses 1, 3, and 5 only. And after my message, we'll sing all 5 verses. So let's sing verses 1, 3, 5.
Sing God's praise there.
Now in verse 1 it says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now am found, was blind, now I see." Now John Newton, remember, he once involved a heinous sin of human trafficking. I mean, human trafficking is a terrible, evil sin that defies human dignity. And while murder ends pain momentarily, but slavery and human trafficking as an agonizing pain for the rest of life, lifelong suffering impossible to endure. And there are human trafficking even today, immoral against human dignity, and they are still openly committed today. Newton himself committed to these grievous sins, yet he completely washed away his past sins, accepted Jesus, received salvation and eternal life. He became a pastor who testifies to God's astonishing love. And is this not what amazing grace is all about? We know from the Bible, Apostle Paul, he, before trusting in Jesus, he too was a sinner who captured and imprisoned believers, persecuting the church, and even stoning at the stoning of Stephen. And because, as Newton described, this wretch person, Saul, Paul, he too was an utterly sinful and wretched person. But because they met Jesus, they were able to transform into someone who God can use. This is what 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." This forgiveness of God is main theme overarching entire Bible. Our God is a forgiving God to those, anyone who would turn from their sin and repent and would come to God. It is to everyone, in not only in the Bible, to anyone who would return to God, accepting, returning, repenting their life. When Newton realized God's love, inviting Jesus into heart, he experienced this profound joy that only God can provide. In verse 2, it was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Now, let me ask you, what is the most precious and blessed time of your life? I mean, throughout all your life, you look back and see when was the most precious and most valuable time in my life? Newton, he says, "The very moment that I came to know and meet Jesus for the first time in my life, that moment, that precious time that I encountered Jesus, that was the turning point of my life. That was the pivotal time of my life that I love, and that's my precious, valuable time of my life." This is what 1 Peter 2, 9 verse says. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." As Christians, I'm sure you all have those moments. The first moment that I have encountered Jesus and have come before God. Your first love. That is the most precious moment that you cannot compare with any other things in your life. And I praise that moment and praise God for that
precious moment that I have become Jesus, you know, God's child. Verse 3, the Lord hath promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. You know, my salvation does not end by being saved only, but God continues his work after I am saved. He gives me good things in my life. He provides me and fills my life with God's wonderful gifts and salvations, clothing, feeding, and filling us until we reach my eternal destination. Now, parents, remember, parents are not relieved from their responsibility once their child is born. That's just beginning. They fulfill their responsibility by supporting them, nurturing children until they grow and become independent. And that's exactly what God does to us. The moment we are being saved, that's a start. We are newborn babies spiritually, and God carries us, nurturing us, and supporting us until we are where we are to be God's tool and serve God mightily and powerfully. This is what Isaiah 58 says. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and make your bones strong. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose water never fails. Another passage in Psalm 121, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm and will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. God who saves me continues to work his wonderful love in our life. Verse 4, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Now, what is your hope when we ask you, what do you hope for heaven? Some people would hope for joyful life. Some people would love for a worry-free life. Some people would hope for a bright and shiny life. Whatever your hopes are for your heaven, the heaven will far exceed. What do you do when you have a trip or a vacation ahead? You have a coming trip or vacation. You prepare and you plan for the trip or vacation. We need to ask ourselves, what am I preparing for my eternal trip? What am I preparing to enter God's kingdom? How can I live bright and shine like the sun in the presence of God? How am I preparing? And the answer is, we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful in today's task. What God has entrusted now, what is in my hands, what is God has given to me right now in my presence, that's what we need to be sincere and faithful, and that is my preparation for now, for my future. This is what Matthew 25 says. Well done, good and faithful servant, because you have been faithful with a few things, I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. So amazing grace. It's not just grace, amazing grace. The more I confess what I received is amazing grace, the more my life will be filled with amazing grace, all the more. And this is a life of amazing grace. Number one, amazing grace is exciting. Think about it. Any repented life in Christ, their life has turned to a grace-filled life.
amazing grace in Christ can live in richness of Christ. Confessing amazing grace makes our faith alive. So amazing grace is a life full of excitement, how God can come into my life and do what God can through me. Just to think about what God can through me excites us as we are filled with this amazing grace. Number two, amazing grace and his life, it reigns and conquers many, many things. Now, Jesus' offer of amazing grace, it washes away my sin, my guilt, and shame. My guilt is lifted, my shame is vanished. And Christians, we enjoy freedom and victory in Christ. So, amazing grace-filled life is filled with this victory and freedom. There is conquer of sin, death, guilt, loneliness, pride, depression, all can be conquered because of this amazing grace that I hold on to and confess in our life. So, brothers and sisters, may we all live a life full of gratitude, joy, and excitement with this amazing grace that is given to you and me through our Lord Jesus. May we enjoy freedom, hope, and power that we can reign and conquer many things. And we can have this power that no other can provide. We have received so much through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this amazing grace. As much as we want to remember and need to remember, we soon forget. Help us to return back to where we should be. Yes, Lord, we need to be there to confess, yes, I have received so much from you. This amazing grace, that I didn't do anything, that I'm not qualified, that you have given to me forever and ever, may be cherished in our life forever, and that we would be forever grateful for what you have provided for us. Yes, Lord, it's not only someone's confession, but may it all be my confession in our life. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.